Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right, welcome back, listeners. Another live stream on our new intro there that we actually wanted. So, Corey, you were gone last week, and you missed our really awesome guest. His name's Cliff Hill. He's a very high-level advisor to a lot of government people around the world, not just the U.S. government. We spoke a little bit about his experiences as far as being blacklisted by intel agencies, even being approached for a job with them at one point. And then also a little bit about his experiences in family court, which he also believes, and I believe as well, were engineered towards a predetermined result by some of those people. So that's basically what we talked about last time. He was writing a book, and he's continuing to do a second one. So that was an excellent show. We might have him back on in the future. And this show, what we're going to do is we're basically going to jump right back to basics. We started off the year in January 2016. That was the very first start of the show. And our first show was an intro and an introduction to universal contracting. Basic universal laws, how to use them, how to make agreements with people, whether that be in the physical body or out of the body. Doesn't really matter. Everything still operates, for the most part, the same. It's just the functionality that's a little bit different, but the substance is the same. What I'm saying is, basically, you can do anything out of the body that you can do in the body. It doesn't really work the other way around because of some physical constraints and physics and all that, obviously. But it's a lot more free and expanded in the thought realms, which you have access to here in the physical realm. We think a lot of thoughts every single day, don't we, Corey?
Whole lot of thoughts. Probably too many.
Some of them probably aren't even our own. We've got to pay very close attention to that. There's a lot of technologies that's able to implant feelings, emotions, trigger emotional responses, and all sorts of different things.
I was explaining basically that it's been a year. We've done a lot of stuff. We want to get back into the basics of what we're trying to teach people, which is how to contract, universal contracting, the basics of agreements, what to expect in the court system in 2017, right? Things have really, really changed, okay? So that's what we're going to get into a little bit today. I'm also going to give out the call-in number to anybody who wants to call in and play a game with us today. The game is called the Question Game. I went ahead and did a post on Facebook about it. Essentially, what we're doing is we're going to all start asking a question. You can jump in at any time. You can jump in on anybody else's question. But the trick is you can never answer the question with testimony or with a statement. The first person who states something or answers a question that somebody else asks is out. So if somebody asks me, are you ready to play the question game? I would ask them, what exactly do you define as ready? You understand? That's the question game. And then we keep going back and forth. Really what we're trying to do is lead into certain topics. So whatever topic you're in, you would ask a question to segue into the previous question and then take you into another realm or topic or dimension of whatever you're doing. And the point here, or the whole crux of the exercise is a training tool. This is actually going to train you out of the response of bending over for authority. What I mean by that is there's some fucking ingrained response in people. I've seen this over and over. It makes me so sad. When somebody in a position of perceived authority, oh, I'm a police officer, I'm a judge, I've got a full authority over your life, bullshit. When somebody asks you a question in an authoritative tone, there's almost this involuntary gag reflex, this, and you just vomit up your answer or your excuse or your testimony or whatever it is. This game will train you out of that. It will have you asking the right questions that you don't need to prepare for. You won't need to think of them in advance. It'll just naturally flow. We did something, a show on this called Instant or Sudden Recall, back when we had Mike Kerbin on the show. So that's essentially what we're going to train. So if you want to play the game, or if you just want to ask a question throughout the show, I promise our connection will be a lot better. The number to call is 888-429-5471. Just choose Station 2, and our awesome producer, Doug, will have you in the queue. He'll set you up, and we'll go from there. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through contracting basics. We're going to tell you what to expect in the court in 2017. We're going to go through some intentional manifestation and energetics of the universe, and then we'll get to the question game. When you guys hear me say, it's question time, all kitschy and stupid like that, you'll know that we're about to start the question game. Corey and I will begin to give you an example, and you guys will have about 2 minutes to get into the queue. Otherwise, we're just going to continue on as long as we can, and we'll go from there. So, Corey, I know I've talked a little bit throughout this. Is there anything that you want to say about what you've learned this past year before we move into contracting basics?
Generally, what I've learned, the most impressing thing that I've learned in this past year regarding what we've been doing and just in general is you have to be prepared for the unexpected, basically. You know, when you think it's peace and safety, sudden destruction is right around the corner. So the idea of maintaining an even keel, a good mindset, you know, keep your heart open, watch your mind, watch your thoughts. One thing that I really impressed upon me a great deal and this was somewhat distressing was the amount of emotional energy around the presidential election this year. I had to get to the point where I'm like, I'm not talking about it anymore. So I just had to stop engaging in it.
I feel you on that, Corey. I feel you, but I had to take the opposite tack, and I think that's why we're such a good balanced host and co-host, because I just basically was like, I don't care who I offend. I'm telling the truth. If the truth offends you, you don't deserve to receive the benefits of the truth, and you can just hide in your sheltered ignorance for the rest of your life. That's not my problem, not responsible for your emotions, right? I'm responsible for coming across in a way that's truthful, and if the truth hurts, well, that's your problem, and it's not mine. You know what?
Yeah.
We lose listeners and friends because of it, so be it. Hopefully they learn something along the way. So,
yeah. Honestly, that's the position I was taking, and people were getting ass hurt so much around me that I just had to back up off it a little bit.
Hey, everything's negotiable. You got it. Whatever your personal situation is, you just got to do what you got to do. So,
yeah, and the thing is, both of us are pretty passionate people, and like when I get into those situations, I'm learning to be a little more even keel, but I get so elevated, because I'm just like, I deal with a lot of people who are extremely intelligent and well-intentioned, and they're operating on most of them, unfortunately, are operating on a real thin, narrow bandwidth. Hmm. And so a lot of these conversations are only taking place in a narrow bandwidth of information and data and understanding. And it just frustrates the hell out of me because, it's bigger than the narrow sliver of visible light that most people are dealing with.
Yeah, those are all good points. I can see exactly where you sort of shifted into that. For me, at least for the past year, I learned that if it can go wrong, it will. I know that's Murphy's Law. I've been aware of that. There is a second part to that equation, which is the solution-oriented part, which is always be prepared for things to go wrong and be able to fluidly adjust or dynamically approach the situation in a way that resolves it uniquely. So any type of frustrating moment like we just had, just recover from it, resolve it, and move it into a space of benefit instead of a detriment. That's basically what
that's contract.
That's right. So speaking of, let's jump right into that. Our first show is about universal contracts. There's just certain laws that are so prevalent throughout this universe and this dimension, and or these dimensions, I should say, that they're almost inescapable. I truly believe everything's negotiable. Laws are meant to be bent and broken and rearranged and put back together. However, there are certain things that you really just can't escape from to a certain degree, okay? Now, if you're talking about contracting basics between people, there's this unspoken part, right? Everybody knows, oh, well, I can make an offer, and they can either take it, or they can send me something back and counteroffer, and, you know, the goal is to everybody agree on something, and blah, 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 and if you give me five barrels of apples, I'll give you, or bushels of apples, I'll give you five barrels of whiskey or whatever the fucking thing is, right? Or let's go into a joint venture together and we'll combine our apples and whiskey and we'll both make more money. You know what I mean? Those are the contracting basics everybody's familiar with. What people aren't familiar with is the due diligence and the body language. Know who you're dealing with first, number one. Know them in and out as if they were yourself. Because if you don't know their state of mind just as if you know your state of mind, then how can you really ever come to a meeting of the minds that's going to work out? Yeah, 9 times out of 10, you might do business together, but there's always going to be that one time that might drag you down. And it could be as simple as, oh, we didn't agree on this term, or this guy totally fucking defrauded me because he suckered me in these few times thinking he's a good businessman and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Anything can happen. So if you don't anticipate in advance who that person is that you're doing business with, well, you're really missing the whole part of contracting, okay? And then the other part of that is getting what you want, clearly asking for what you want, showing that you deserve it, showing a value that they should take. Like, hey, if I give this guy this, I'm getting this value. I think I want to take that value. And so you're selling yourself through your demeanor and your body language. And you're standing firm on your terms, and you're not budging with your body language. This is what's missing from a lot of negotiations. Even guys that negotiate high-level deals, Corey, you know, like these international deals, international attorneys, yada, yada, yada. You see these guys hunched over, slouched at their desk or around the conference table. You know, I propose that we make a change here, or blah, 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 blah. There's not really any authority or belief behind it. Like, look, guys, if we do this and change this before final approval, it's going to give you this, it's going to give you that, it's going to give me this. Boom. Everybody wants to jump on board now and make that amendment. You didn't have to go through fancy Robert Rules of Order, none of that shit. Make sense? Okay. So body language and due diligence. Know who the fuck you're dealing with, and then know how to ask for what you want with your chest out, your head up, your chin up, right? Direct eye contact, always making contact with the left eye, which bypasses the reasoning cortex. That's a sales technique. Corey and I have gone over that, listeners, many, many times. This is something that you can use on the side of the road or in court or with family members or negotiating a new job or negotiating a raise. There's a lot of ways you can use these techniques, not just, you know, conjecture. It's not just some thing that we're making up. These are universal basics. Okay. Corey, what are some of the contracting basics that you've learned just through your dealings with me and other people that aren't really talked about much? I know I covered a lot of it, but is there anything missing that you think you might want to add?
Well, I the question game is, you know, in certain situations, you know, I suppose if you're negotiating a deal, you wouldn't necessarily, or a business deal, you wouldn't necessarily take that route. But in situations where you're dealing with authority figures that are trying to gain jurisdiction over you or trying to gain power over you, that's a good one, right? You don't testify. You don't testify in circumstances. They're asking you questions. If you answer, they've established authority over you. So the way not to get into that situation is answer questions back. And
if I answer your question, am I going to obligate myself in any way with you to where you'd have the power to arrest me if I say something wrong?
Right.
No. Am I able to trust and believe that you're not allowed to lie on the job? Yes. Are you lying right now? No. If I just assume that your yes or no answers are always what I want them to be, can we both just have a nice encounter and go about our separate ways at the end of it? Hmm? Right? Sounds dumb. Sounds like it wouldn't work. Sounds random. And you know what? You might get a gun pulled on you. But that shit was going to happen anyways if you said something out of line or if you didn't do something fast enough, because those type of people are, they're just psychotic, right? The ones that will work with you will be like understanding. They'll be like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, I'm the police officer, and this guy's obviously standing up for his rights. He doesn't look like a crazy patriot free man guy that's always trying to pop off about something. He's not doing this or that. You know, he doesn't seem very dangerous, got no warrants. Okay, great. I'll just contract with him, and then he can go. Honestly, yeah, that's been the majority of my experiences.
And it should be, and it really, ideally, should be pleasant. You know, they're looking for pushback, right? They're trying to, oftentimes they'll try to goad you. If you're not going completely in their direction, then they're going to goad you in a way where you're going to capitulate or you're going to incriminate yourself or what have you.
That's right. That's their job. That's their training. They're trained to get people to incriminate themselves constantly. They get people to put themselves in jail every day.
Yeah, and really, it's a game, you know. Mm-hmm. And if as difficult as it may be, and I'm not immune to it myself, but in those kinds of situations, if you can make it a pleasant game, you know, a pleasant game of just confession and avoidance.
That's right. That's exactly that term. Well, we'll get into that too. Yeah. There's also another thing that some of these guys, Corey, that are operating under these authorities think they have some sort of immunity. And in fact, some statutes or legal regulations actually cloak them or vest them with a title of immunity. Police officers have something called absolute immunity, and judges have something called judicial immunity or, stuff like that. So it's something that they have to voluntarily waive. And if you can get the acceptance of somebody through their failure to act or by them acting in agreement with you, then great. That's how you do that. And what I mean is, if somebody's going to act against your best interest, why don't you just make an agreement that their actions against your best interest is an agreement or an acceptance of your terms? And you're like, okay, well, you know, this is going to go down this way. I might as well make my own terms about it. My terms are, well, shit, I know I'm about to get dragged out of the court, but if you guys actually do drag me out of the court, then it's as if you signed a written binding agreement to waive your immunities. You're acknowledging that every single action that you've ordered these men to do and that you participated in and that these people did was ultra vires, which is basically the only way you can get a judge in trouble. It's extremely fucking hard to do. It's only reserved for the most criminal people that you can get a determination from another judge or another authority that says that one actor, or that one little judge or whoever it was acting ultra vires. What does ultra vires mean, Jordan? It means outside the scope of your authority, outside the scope of your jurisdiction. You did not perform a public ministerial act under the cloak or vestment of your public office. You actually stepped as an individual person into a realm that you were not allowed to go to, and you interfered directly with my rights. And you did so intentionally with the knowledge that it would detriment my life, it would harm me, and that you would be able to benefit from my chattel property, which is basically the straw man and all this stuff that the Patriot guys are looking after. That stuff is what these guys are hanging on to. All of this is contracts and fictions and insurance, and it's just estates and trusts and constructive trust and agreements. There is no real people in these courts. There's real people hiding behind masks that are presented as fiction, okay? So this is the contracting basics, right? We've talked about this constantly. You try to get somebody to hear your terms clearly. You come across with your body language that says, I'm confident in my terms. These are beneficial to me, and they're beneficial to you. Then you get the meeting of the minds. Or if there's no meeting of the minds and the person wants to actually exercise power over you for some reason, like I said, courtroom, side of the road, whatever, then you take your own terms on those actions and you get them to waive their immunity, right? So the body language is very important throughout all of that. Now, that's what enforcement is. Enforcement is getting them to agree that they've done some sort of act that's illegal. and we'll talk a little bit about what you can fucking expect in the court system. Generally, I would say every place is different, but for the most part, we'll get into that. But enforcement is the last step. You made an agreement. The people performed. How do you get them to pay you or give you what they asked? Would they begin performance on? How do you get to that completion of performance? Or the people defrauded you, right, Corey? They didn't do what they said they were going to do. They didn't perform as agreed. How do you notice those people, give them a reasonable opportunity to fix it? And then when they don't, how do you enforce it? By structuring the verbal agreement or structuring whatever it is to include those contingencies. Yeah, I've done my due diligence. This guy's an asshole. He fucks people over like cattle every single day and with a 97% conviction rate. Probably not going to get very far doing traditional techniques for negotiation. So what should I do? Well, know your opponent. I wouldn't call them an enemy because you always learn something from these guys. Know your opponent, right? And then once you know them, apply the proper techniques with the body language conveying them. You'd be surprised. Even the most hard-ass prosecutor or judge will be stunned if you do things properly. I've literally watched them open their mouth slack-jawed and be like, holy fuck, this motherfucker, I know he didn't go to law school. How the fuck does he know what his assuming arguendo mean? Right? How did he just wrap up this entire thing that we were about to put on him before we even said anything about it? How the fuck did he turn it around and put it back on us? Well, because he knew his opponent, right? And he's really good at sudden recall or sudden insight of knowing what to say at the right time. Got it? What do you think about that, Corey?
Well, I want to add, particularly in court situations, it's about a record, right? Enforcement is about a record. So I would highly recommend that anyone that's going into a court situation, if they're looking to stand on their own square and what have you, bring your own court reporter.
Bam. That's a must. Thank you for bringing
that. You must have your own court reporter because, yeah, you can say, are we on the record? And you can say it three times and they could affirm, but that record is not in your hands. You have no control over it. Anything could happen to it.
And who created the record, Corey? Who's the creator and originator of the record?
Well, it depends. You are, but when you're in the court, it's their recording facility. It's their stenographer or their audio and video or what have you.
So who has the ultimate rights over creation?
The creator.
Okay. So if the creator of the record is the court, people miss this all the time. They're like, oh, well, they can just, you know, you're either allowed to alter it or they're not allowed to alter it. That's all we have to talk about. No, what we have to talk about is the jurisdiction of the document. What jurisdiction is that record in? Why do they create it? Well, they create it for their own purposes in the court system. If you come in with your own independent court reporter, you're actually creating a record of what they're doing in their business. Instead of it being an internal record and a little testimony in minutes of the court or whatever, you're actually giving a snapshot to anybody who ever wants it in the public of what's going down in that courtroom and their business. Right. They report to the IRS. So,
and like,
Corey,
like you,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like you say, they created it. They can pretty much do what they want with it. As you say, there might be, you know, I'm sure there's codes and statutes and things regarding how that record should be handled or the accessibility of it from a defendant, if you will, so on and so forth. But like you said, they created it. They can pretty much do whatever they want with it. So bring your own court reporter and create your own record. You'll have a much easier time on the enforcement side, for sure.
That's right. That's right. And the jurisdiction is important. Anybody who's heard that word on Law and Order, whatever, everybody automatically, most people I should say, automatically think place, location, venue, an actual physical mailing address, the jurisdiction of Texas, the state boundaries of Texas. Yes, jurisdiction is a land term, it's a location term, but is more so a term about spoken word or sworn testimony. And the purpose or the intent of that testimony. So if the purpose and the intent or jurisdiction of their court record is basically to have a record that's completely under their control so they can further their business schemes against people or their fucking frauds, which is what the court is, right? Constructive fraud. If that is the purpose, can you ever, as an outside party, alter that purpose in a substantial way? No. If you try to use their own record against them, it's sort of like, oh, you didn't follow your own rules. Well, they still have the ultimate power. Now, if you have an independent court reporter or an independent jurisdiction of a record, meaning a private person contracted with another private person to take a record or a testimony of what's happening in this public court or in this business, that is not under the control. The purpose of that document does not serve the same purpose as their record. Therefore, it represents a threat. And it's such a small difference that nobody would even know to think about it that way. And even if they did think about it that way, they wouldn't know to present it. So basically what I would do to present my record is I would grab the names. I would make everybody personally liable by grabbing the names. When I start off, I'd say, good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney. I have here today, as allowed by law and by right, I have here today such and such, Ms. Such and such, who's a licensed stenographer and who will be making an independent court record for my purposes. So for the purposes of the record here today, would you please state your full name, sir? No, Honorable Judge Smith. Thank you very much. I understand that. I'll refer to you that if you wish. But I am requesting formally your full name for my records. I need to know who I'm dealing with before I proceed. Thank you so much. I'll wait.
I asked for your name, not your title.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. And so if you can get it, get it. They will definitely know that you know what you're doing if you ask to get their names on the record. A lot of Patriot guys have tried to do this in a weird fucking way. Just be upright, I should say, or bold and notorious about what you're doing. Listen, I want to know who I'm dealing with so I can hold personal accountability if this thing goes sideways and somebody acts ultra-vires. What did I just do? I let the judge know, hey, buddy, I know who the fuck you are. I studied all your case decisions for my due diligence before I came in here to contract with you. I know how you operate. I went on your fucking Facebook page. I know you've got a wife and three kids. You're about money. You're about this. You like football. I went on your LinkedIn page and studied you more. This is what people are missing when they go into court. I know who the fuck that judge is. I know he likes his tea with a squeeze of lemon. You know what I mean? And so I'm able to press him in points that I wouldn't be able to otherwise. And no, I'm not threatening the guy. I'm not saying I'm going to do physical harm or do any of this stupid Patriot shit. I'm literally saying, blah, 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 blah. I'm hooking him in by saying something that's, you know, just giving him some banter. I'm telling him ahead of time, I know who you are by saying, hey, if you're going to choose to act ultra vires, I want everybody on the record. I'm saying, hey, I know what you're about to do. And then I say, hey, if this, this, and that, and I say something for enforcement. Obviously, I'm giving you blah, blah, blahs and generalizations, but I want it to be open so people can think about what they would say, right? So what does this do? People are like, oh, well, I'm going to say this to the judge, blah, 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 and they know how it makes them feel. Oh, I feel powerful. I feel like I'm going to win. Well, you got to analyze what is that word or what is that document when the person opens it or when you say that word in that way with that body language. You got to preconceive of what they're going to think. What's going through that guy's mind? First of all, the judge would be like, holy fuck, who the fuck is this guy? Right? I've had them test me and see if I was a Mason. I've had the judge say things that I know that only other Masons would say to other Masons in basically displaying themselves to each other in a secret way. Right? And when I didn't return the proper things, he instantly shifted back into his asshole mode. And I had to overcome that again. But I won through contracting, even though I wasn't part of the in crowd. So knowing who that other guy is and knowing when you say something, what's he thinking? Well, holy shit, I got to tread carefully with this dude, right? Oh, this guy is saying things in a way that he knows that I'll understand, but everybody in the galley, the public, the people that need to be uninformed so this court can still make money off them like fucking cattle, right? He's not threatening the public interest, so I have no need to throw him in jail for contempt or threaten him. Maybe I'll play this game and do the question shit. This is the purpose of the question game. The most important part of our whole show today is learning how to utilize this skill naturally. Okay? So I went on my little soapbox thing, which I commonly do, but it's very important. You guys need to play this back and listen to it again if you don't understand any part of this. All right? So, Corey, we're into court already. Let's talk about what to expect in the courts in 2017. Okay? At least for myself, I've had my finger on the pulse for about a decade now. Every year it gets worse and worse as far as the noose tightening, the regulations tightening. Harder and harder for a plaintiff, which is the person who's suing somebody. Harder and harder for a plaintiff in civil court to prove their case. If somebody shoots you in the leg and they have a gun that's like the only gun in the world that could shoot that type of bullet, and you say, hey, this bullet was recovered and it's the only type of bullet that matches that gun, that's the only type in the world that shoots that bullet. If you don't have the gun and the bullet, somehow magically you have like an orgy of evidence available to you before you even file your fucking complaint, then you'll get your shit dismissed if the right conditions are met by the defense attorney. So it's extremely difficult for anybody who has a claim, like I was shot, I have a rightful claim. It's difficult for people to get in there without having all the evidence up front. You're going to run into that because it keeps getting worse and worse. It's just this way of them of legislating out your due process, legislating out your freedoms. You know what I mean? So you can't expect that in 2017. If you're going to sue somebody, you better know all the details up front. Or you better guess really fucking good. Right? And then be prepared to stand on it. That's essentially the whole basics of what you can expect. In federal court, you're going to have an easier time than most state courts. That might not hold true for New Jersey. New Jersey's the fucking devil dimension. Okay? dude, I shit you not. You remember our buddy Claude Albert?
Yeah.
7 years later, dealing with a divorce. 3 habeas corpus cases went through federal. They're not supposed to say that the habeas is suspended, but they basically, for all intents and purposes, suspended it. He didn't get any relief. Habeas corpus is gone for the most part. By the way, guys, that the last vestiges of our last freedoms was really gone in about 2015-2016 time period. The state courts, very shitty. Federal courts, pretty good. Federal court in New Jersey, get the fuck out of there if you can. Don't be there. It's Mordor, right? This terrible place. And then, you know, Corey, your state courts over there in Arizona seem to be an interesting mix because those guys, they get a lot of patriot dudes in there. And the ones like you that are not patriots, but the ones that do it right, they sort of thought you were a patriot guy at first and you got before the judge. Listeners, you can go back and listen to Corey's detainment story. It's one of the 6 or 7 shows we did, show number 7 or 8, something like that, way back in February. But, Corey, your court system, they actually will work with some of these people if you contract with them properly.
Sure.
And you experienced a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, really, it's about money. Yeah. So you got to find a way that doesn't alert the public to be able to satisfy any claims against you, any charges.
That's right.
Without having to threaten you for it, without them having to threaten to get your Social Security number, you know, or your signature on a document that they can monetize, you know, let them know, I got it for you right here. Let's handle this.
Let's just do it. Let's pretend that I don't know what you guys are doing. You guys pretend that I really am a fiction and not the real person, like you fucking know I am. And then let's just pretend that you sign these documents and I give you these documents and then we just go our separate ways. Right? And, you know, it may work or may not. Might have to fight for that. You just never know. Body language plays a crucial role in that. Okay? All right, Corey, let's jump right into it. We're running out of time. An hour is usually never enough. I'm probably going to consider extending these to 2 hours if we do get a formal sponsor. Cough, cough, hint, hint. Anyone out there want to sponsor us $150 a week? We'd love that. That would really be awesome. I've been paying for it out of my pocket for the past year. And Corey as well. So, all right. So it's question time. Number to call in is 888-429-5471, station 2. The time clock starts now. It's about 5:40 my time. We're going to give you guys till 5:42 to be on the line and ready to jump in. If you're not, me and Corey will do it by ourselves, and I hope you guys really have a good listen and pay attention, okay? Corey, I think you have the notes that we took earlier in front of you. Listeners, we're not having any pre-recorded notes. There's just certain topics that I want to lead our questions into, so we're going from, like, you know, basic contracting to the nature of the universe to, you know, soul questions, and then maybe we'll get into interactions with authority, whatever. You'll know, because you'll know the questions will start to change, okay? Here we go. Corey, are you ready to begin the question game?
Well, what is the nature of the question game?
If I was to describe the nature of the question game, would you have about 5 minutes to listen?
I would consider it if you were succinct in that 5 minutes.
If I was to reduce it to 2 minutes and then ignore the fact that you made a statement in front of your question, which is basically still a question, would that still be okay?
Do you think it would be all right for us to proceed as you propose?
If you're asking me a question that I just asked you and it's the same sort of answer that we're both expecting, can we just move on?
If moving on is what you propose, then why would I be against that?
If that conditional acceptance was placed as a question, would I be required to accept it? And if I did, would you be required to move on into an agreement?
I'm not sure if I would be required to.
Got you. We're going to start over, though.
Yeah.
All right. So, do we really know what the nature of the universe is, Corey?
Are you asking me directly?
Would we have anybody else on the line to ask that's calling in?
Well, what is the nature of the universe as far as you're concerned?
If I were to tell you that the nature of the universe was everything, something, and nothing all at once, and it would be difficult, would you believe me?
Would it really matter if I believed you or not?
Would you understand intrinsically the nature of the universe if you believe me or not?
Would my level of understanding or my ability to understand alter your proposition?
If the answer to your question was true, would you be on a high enough level to understand that I'm still questioning the nature of the universe for me specifically?
Is my response really that important to your inquiry?
If your response really was that important, would you also answer the question of if a supernova happens in another dimension, does it make a sound in ours?
Well, if a supernova happens in another dimension, and we're in empty space, what is there that could create a sound?
Would empty space constitute the absence of sound, and or is it really empty space?
Well, empty space...
I got you. Start over. Maybe you haven't. Go ahead.
Empty space is a proposition. Could you corroborate that there is anything but empty space in space?
If you asked me a true question from the beginning, would I be able to answer it?
Is it necessary to even have a definitive answer to that question?
If all the animals along the equator were capable of flattery, would Halloween and Christmas fall on the same day? Some of you guys will get that. Some of you won't. We're still going. Go on.
If Halloween and Christmas were to fall on the same day, would not that cause some disruption in the commercial apparatus of the United States?
If there was disruption in the United States, would I really know that the extent of that disruption?
Would it really matter?
Would it matter if my awareness was very, very high of certain situations that needed to be known?
Or would it matter if Halloween and Christmas fell on the same day and caused disruptions in the system?
If what you're saying is true, and if I'm me, then who are you?
Is it possible for me to give a definitive answer to that question?
Are you sure you haven't said that before?
if I were sure, what would it matter? I just said the same question.
It's okay. Let's keep going. All right. So let's move into real shit. Would you please state your name for the record, sir?
I would be more than happy to state my name for the record. If you, sir, would you be willing to identify yourself for my record?
Was that a yes or a no?
I'll repeat the question. Would you be able to state your name for my record?
Does your repeating of the question constitute a yes or no answer?
Is it possible that a question could actually be an affirmative response?
Is that something that you would feel instinctively from the way that I asked my previous inquiry?
Am I required to answer yes or no to your question?
If you were required, would you?
If I were compelled to answer in the affirmative, would that not undermine the very question that I presented to you?
If I was to understand your answer, would it be faster if I just asked again to get a yes?
Would you be willing to answer my question in order for me to get an answer, for you to get an answer to your question? Would you be willing to answer my question first?
If I was willing to just move on and call you John Doe, would you be willing to accept that name?
If that satisfies your requirement, would I be remiss in standing in the way of that?
Would you like to switch roles so that I can maybe try some responses to certain questions from perceived authority?
Would I be dishonoring the court if I were to refuse?
Would it be too forward if I just asked you to proceed without any threat of criminal charges?
Would you be surprised if I found that astonishing?
If I was surprised because you found that astonishing, would it make a difference in your decision?
Would it surprise you if I were to not directly respond to your question.
Would it surprise you that the only thing that I heard from that is the word surprise?
Is there any way that we could move on with the procedure here, as we seem to be in a side eddy at this moment?
Are you asking me to move forward in a capacity that doesn't require my body as collateral?
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Do you typically begin each proceeding by trying to gain jurisdiction by coercion?
Do you have some aversion to identifying yourself in this matter so that we could proceed?
Would you guarantee me immunity from my body being used as collateral if I proceeded as you were asking me to?
Do you perceive that your body is somehow under threat?
Would you really have me believe that that's not the case?
Could you explain to me how this line of questioning is benefiting this procedure for anyone, any party here?
Is there some sort of secret constructive trust using my social security number as a backing for bonds that are traded on this matter until I'm either convicted or let go and you have to float the bonds yourself because you're a business with an IRS number? Would that be accurate if I were to ask you that question?
Does your line of questioning have anything to do with me asking you simply to identify yourself?
Can I take your response as an affirmative or maybe a confession and avoidance, which would infer that you answered in the affirmative?
Is there any particular way that you would feel comfortable in identifying yourself to this court?
If my identification were to close this whole matter down without my body being collateral, would that be agreeable to you?
If you wish to identify yourself in a way that we can proceed in this matter, would that be problematic for you?
Does your question indicate a yes or a no answer to my previous statement / question?
Is a yes or no question and a yes or no answer required?
If I were to just ask a question right now that and restate my previous question, would it be okay if we just both agree that we've answered yes and we move on? Does that sound good?
If that's satisfactory to you, would I be remiss in assuming otherwise?
Sir, would you please hand over your driver's license and registration?
And why would you want my driver's license and registration?
Am I required to answer your questions?
Did you not make an appearance in this court today regarding this matter?
Would you be agreeable to pretend that we're on the side of the road instead of in court?
Is not being on the side of the road court?
If being on the side of the road is court, oh, you got me, Corey. Look at that. That's the first time. I was going to say is instead of if, but you got me. Is being on the side of the road court to you, or is it an investigation?
Is not an investigation in itself court?
Would my response to either one of them be the same?
It depends. Would your response be either one to either one be the same?
Got you. the pens went first. Okay, well, let's go ahead and cut it off here. We're not really going around circles, but I just want to mainly stay on the courts and the side of the road encounters. And, you know, some of the questions really don't make sense, but it's just an exercise to keep you responding. No, you're not going to keep doing the same thing. You're not going to keep going back and forth. You're going to find a question that would allow us to proceed, right? We did that a little bit, and you guys can sort of imagine where that would go in a courtroom. If you're doing it with the body language, you're doing it in a way that's not an asshole, you're not, you know, blah, 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 you're not doing that, you're really going to get some results. The judge is going to be like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 here you go, right? Or he's going to be a douchebag. But he was going to do that anyway, right? So asking the questions instead of giving the testimonies puts you in the position of the power, okay? It gives you the authority, right? So we had a few... Go ahead.
Yeah, that particular, again, it's an exercise. Yes, some of that shit just sounded ridiculous and was going nowhere, and that if it actually went down to court, you'd probably get it, you know,
you
a real fast.
Tasered and carried away, right?
You get a fast...
But having the reflex was the purpose of this game.
And the key is... Yeah, the key is back to the identification, getting them to identify themselves.
That's right. Or if they won't, it's like, look, I'll take what you're telling me as your acknowledgement that you're here as a real person in equity and you've waived your military admiralty jurisdiction. Even if it seems like you're still following procedures, I'm going to go ahead and take it as if you're acting of your own accord without your immunity. Sound great?
Right.
Cool. Thanks. Let's proceed. I'm ready under those terms.
Under those terms.
Boom. Take it. Assume the sale. It's just like a sale. Assume it. Assume the clothes, right? Ask for what you want. People respect, Corey. People respect those who are upfront. Case in point, you might not like it, but a guy did an experiment on YouTube where he posed as a homeless man, where he was completely fucking honest, and he had a sign that said, I need money for drugs and alcohol. What happened? He sat there for less than 30 minutes. His entire fucking box or his little thing that he was collecting money in was full. People are like, here you go, man. Yeah, oh, yeah, here you go. Here you go. People respect honesty, even if it's not socially appropriate. People respect it. It might make them feel butthurt, but they will respect you for saying what needs to be said. Now, that same guy sat in a different location and the same location. So he did it in different places to see if, you know, basically like scientific testing. And he had a sign that says, my kids are hungry. We need, you know, we're homeless. Kids hungry. We need food. You know, anything helps. Thanks. Right? Something about food. I need help. Give me money. Whatever. People did not give him money. Even though that's what you would think people would want those, you know, their donations to go towards, they appreciate honesty. Right? So not being afraid of what you want. No, I'm not saying you should be asking for drugs and alcohol or money for it. All right, go figure out your own life. But be honest with what you're asking for. Be bold, notorious, very short, succinct. Hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, yeah, that's a nice haircut. Yeah, you know, I was wondering, like, there's this blah, 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 and I'm just such and such and a blah, blah. And if it's not too much trouble, could you, like, maybe blah? People don't want to hear that shit. You're wasting their fucking time. Everybody's running around so busy, nobody wants to hear that shit. You know what they respect? Hey, yo, I need somebody to help me hold my dick so I can take a piss. Did I just get vulgar? Yeah, I did. But is it an outrageous request? Yes, it is. But did I sugarcoat it? No. Right? I've lost the use of both my arms and I really have to pee. Will you help me? Right? Yeah, that's a crazy example. I went out on the fringes there. But I wanted to explain to you and have you understand that even the most crazy request, if you just come out with it, just fucking get it out. The respect for you being able to say it like that overstands what you said 9 times out of 10. You understand?
Yeah. And
okay.
isn't that Donald Trump's appeal?
That's right. The dude says right. What he wants. He has some level of responsibility. Albeit that's debatable from most people. People want to call him the misogynist, racist bullshit. That's a counter narrative. The only place that it's ever come from is fucking nothing but crap and ABC, all bullshit channel, and then fucking, what is it, Clinton News Network, CNN, crap news network. All of that shit is all made up. There is no evidence that this fucking guy is a racist. None. There's no evidence. And in fact, we've already gone over this. Racism doesn't fucking exist. Ignorance, hate, and self-loathing exist. You put down another race is because you hate yourself. Not because you hate a fucking other race. That's stupid. You're using a target that's not the true target of what's happening. All right? It's self-hatred. It's low self-esteem. It's stupid retardedness. Okay? So, yes, Corey, thank you for bringing that up. we're running out of time here. Is there anything that you want to close out the show with?
2017. Stay alert. In numerology, it's a 1 year. It's a reset. You know?
New beginning. Start over.
New beginning. Don't
destroy
expect,
old patterns.
Yeah, don't expect what was common the year before and the year before that this year. Because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going to go down. The cabal, if you want to call them that, the Illuminati, those guys are fucking running scared right now. There's a huge purge that's about to happen in the CIA. They'll no longer be, to my understanding, they won't be this enforcement arm of the secret shadow governments and all that stuff. There's a lot of good people coming forward, a lot of hard work over the past 20, 30 plus years. And if you really want to get technical about it, people from different races and aliens and stuff like that have been trying to help us for hundreds of thousands of years. For those of you that don't fucking know and you've been wondering what's wrong with you in this life and why everything's so shitty, you live in one of the last holdouts, the last solar system or galactic holdouts of pure fucking evil, okay? Yeah, there's galactic wars that have been going on for millions of years. You live in one of the last holdouts of the nastiness, okay? Fucking horrible shit happens here. You don't believe me? Go research the dark web. People being tortured online where the persons that are paying bitcoins can direct the torture on somebody else. There's just really sick stuff that's set up by these entities for humans to participate in, to kill their soul and degrade their soul energy so that we can become nothing but fucking puppets and containers for these nasty entities, right? Mm. Everybody thinks the Illuminati runs the world. Wrong. Little Trump thing. Wrong. Wrong. Not right. They're puppets, and they're perfectly bred puppets. Their DNA and their inbreeding is specific because over thousands of years they've inbred with each other to maintain their susceptibility to possession. Okay? You are dealing with spirits, energies, entities, things that do not need a physical body, right? So, that is what's happening. You need to be aware of it and just sort of come to terms with the fact that you live in a shithole, and the only reason you do is either, one, you've got some shitty shit to learn, and you know what, come to terms with that. Or number two, which I believe is more probable by this time, you're a starseed. You chose to come here. Quit fucking whining about it. Quit fucking whining. Accept it. Accept your shit, shine your light, and do what you came here to do. And then when you finally get to leave this place, which is nothing to be scared of, when you finally get to fucking die and leave this body, you're going to be so happy that you completed your mission, you affected the people you needed to affect, and now you're fucking free and could go anywhere in the universe. Okay? Corey, I appreciate your presence here, man. You're always a blessing and a pleasure. We're going to end the show. We'll see you next week. Might have a musical show next week. Might have our guest Frank Bacon. We could have Johnny Delirious back on. We just don't know yet. The schedule's sort of up in the air. But do tune in next Sunday, 5 p.m. We'll have another live show for you. Until then, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.